Amen. May be seated. Thank you. Thank you, band. Okay. If there's any youth people in the house, please make your way to the back. Tracy's waiting by the door for you guys. You're going to have youth at the support center. Thank you very, very much. Amen. 2020. Hope you all got vision for it. Nobody got that one. Tough crowd today, Pastor. It's okay. Great stuff. You know, I actually spoke to one of my friends at the back there, one of the sound guys, and I asked him to kind of help me out this morning because there's two ways you can enter into 2020. And the first one, if I can maybe just ask the sound guy to maybe lower my mic a bit because I am extremely loud when I speak. One, two. Just a bit more. One, two. A little bit more. How low can you go? One, two. That is much, much, much better. So, before I even get to the sermon, you see, there's two ways you can enter into 2020. Okay, and the first one is going to sound like this. When the sound guys are ready, this is how it's going to sound like. Greek, Greek. Okay, let's just wait. Seven. And we're still waiting. God is just teaching us patience this year. Just want to say, welcome to 2020. For our first time visitors here, my name is Moja. I am the youth guy of the church here, and I work with Pastor Richard. Pastor Richard trusts me so much that he decided to give me the mic this morning to open the year for us. And I'm very excited about that. Let me just check with the guys. Are you guys ready at the back? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you need to use Media Player. That one works much, much, much better. So, but I trust that you are all well and that you rested very, very, very well in December. My parents came to visit us again last year, and it was amazing to have them here. But you know, I remember I told you guys that last year, 2 years ago actually, my mom looked at me, and she started saying beautiful comments according to her. So she looked at me, and she's like, my boy, you're not as handsome as you used to be. And I looked at my mom and I'm like, okay, thank you. And then she says to me also, and my boy, you don't dress as nice as you used to dress also. And I'm like, Hanada, seriously, mom. You know what? Pastor Richard does an amazing work to build my self-esteem. And you just wanted to break it. But like, yeah, so the guys at the back are ready. So this is how you can enter 2020. Okay, thank you, Brett. So you can start off the year like that. Ek het genoeg gegee. Ek het genoeg geskree. Or, this is what you can do. And this is what I love. When Brett is ready at the back. But you need to pump it up for me.
What can wash away my sin? What can
and then with this song, you also do your Pastor Richard dance.
What can make me white as snow?
Yeah?
Nothing but your own.
Let's listen to the words. Let's listen to the words.
What can heal the heart of stone? What can resurrect these bones? There's no other fount I know. Nothing but your royal blood.
I like this part.
Nothing but your royal blood. Your blood will never lose its power. Your blood will never lose.
Thank you, Brett.
Your victory.
You see, that's how you can enter into 2020. Saying that, you know what, there's nothing but the blood, there is nothing but the royal blood of Christ that can wash away our sins. Because, you know, sometimes this is what we usually do if you're like me. Because it's like sometimes, you know, you think about all the stuff that has happened in your life and you tend to say, like, you know, I am unworthy. I don't cut it anymore. I feel like, you know what, I have done so much in my life that, you know, that the blood doesn't cover me. Then you hear songs like these that reminds you, hey, listen, the blood will never lose. The blood will never lose. So 2019 is gone, right? So now 2020 is here. And that's how we enter. It's like, listen, 2019, you're gone. I get genoeg hier. I get genoeg geskree. But right now, nothing but the blood. And that's how I'm going to pave my life this year. Like, this is what I'm going to be doing. Like, okay, God, listen, I want your blood to cover me. I don't want anything else to cover me. I just want your blood because I know when I'm covered by your blood, I am safe. When I'm covered by your blood, I know, like, listen, my sins are under that blood. Everything else is under that blood. And I'm not going to worry about last year. I'm just going to be focused on this year because I know you've got greater plans for this year. Like that song says, God of the city, there's greater things yet to come. Who's excited about 2020? Let's see. Stefan? Yeah. Amen, 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 amen. So I have the privilege of sharing the word with us today. And I believe God, before we even get to the message, I believe that God is wanting us to hear his voice clearly this year. And I believe God is wanting for us to draw closer to him, to dwell in his presence. And there's a song that I've been listening to, and it says this, more than what you can give me, God, I just want you. More than what you can give me, God, I just want you. You see, the song comes from a place of like, we're not going to be seeking your hand, God, but we're going to be seeking your face. Because we can come like with our list to God and say, but God, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what. Instead of just coming to God and be like, listen, you are beautiful, you are magnificent. God, you are so amazing in all your ways, and I'm just going to be focused on you. Because the more I focus on you, I know, God, like you say, first seek the kingdom of God, and then all things will be added. Not all things will seek all things, then, no. It's first seek the kingdom of God, then everything else will be added unto you in your journey of salvation. So I've got a question to ask us all this morning. What would you define as the best place to be? Church? Presence of God? Heaven? Somebody else? Madison was at youth. She understands where I'm going with this. Anybody else? Think about it. What would you define as the best place to be? And I know some of us already thinking Montague Garden, where we're all going to be saying, yeah, for parda. But what would you define, like personally, like, you know, your space, what would you define as the best place to be? The Word of God. God's love next to your wife. That is amazing. That is amazing. Before I answer that question for us, let's jump into the scripture. Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed them into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." As Madison said, the best place to be is by the Lord's feet. Because when you are at the Lord's feet, you are engaging with him. You are hearing his voice. You are actually in his presence. And it's the most beautiful place to be. And you see, when you are so close to God, I want to say this in the sense, like, you know what, if you need to make decisions and you're walking very close to God, it kind of makes it easy because you know who's got your back, because you're hearing the shepherd's voice. And when you're in that space of hearing his voice, you can actually, your life is actually directed in the right way. So Mary's like, "Listen, Jesus, kind of help me out here. Because I'm doing everything else, but my sister is just sitting." And Jesus is like, "Listen, she has chosen the best place to be." So the best place to be, church, for 2020, for years to come, it's not like, you know what, watching a movie somewhere else or being somewhere else, but it's being in the presence of the Lord. You see, when you're in the presence of the Lord, you are fulfilled. Am I right? When the Lord is surrounding you, you feel like, man, you feel like a winner. I want to say that. When you are in the presence of the Lord, and I've noticed this with me, when I've been with the Lord, my response to people around me, to my wife, is different. Have you noticed that? When you've been with Jesus, you can notice that you begin to speak differently. You begin to approach situations differently. And it's not about, like, you know, what just comes. No, no, no. It's like, "Listen, no, I've just been with Jesus. I'm filled with Jesus." And from that place, you can operate. From that place, you can operate. You see, when we zoom into Martha, Martha is just thinking, "Listen, I need to do this and I need to do that." So we've become a generation of Marthas in the church. We just wanting to do stuff. This is us. We just want to be out there, but we don't want to be by the Lord's feet. We are so out there. We are known to be out there, but we are not known to be by the Lord's feet. Which is a dangerous thing, church. Because it's like, you know, everybody else is thinking like, "Oh my word, this is amazing. You've got this solid relationship with Christ, but you're not engaging with Christ." You see, a relationship works better when you are with that person. And you get to learn from that person. You get to be in that person's presence all the time. And that is what I believe God is wanting us to do this year. To be like, "Hey, listen, I know stuff needs to be done. But before I can do that stuff, can I just sit with Jesus? Is it a crime to sit with Jesus?" No. We need it. We need to be with Jesus. Christ says, "Listen, you are worried about many things. But what's important is that you sit by my feet." We need to sit by Jesus' feet. As you can see, this sermon is going to go around about his presence and a relationship with him. By a show of hands, who believes that they have a relationship with Jesus? Did that relationship just happen? It didn't just happen. It took time, right? It took you opening your Bible and sitting at his feet and engaging with him. That's how a relationship works. I cannot say to my wife, imagine this, the day I got married to my wife and I say to her, listen, this is everything else that you need to know about me. And I just give her a book. I just give her, don't talk to me. If you want to know, like, if you're wanting to buy on a certain day, this is going to be my answer. You must read chapter what. Imagine that, and I say to her, but don't speak to me. That is not going to work out. That is seriously not going to work out. I remember me pursuing her was the best time. Wait. Because it's like, I believed what the Lord has said to me. And from there onwards, I was like, okay, God has said something to me, and I'm going to pursue that. And I'm going to pursue that. And that pursuing came from a place of like, listen, we're not just going to spend time alone. We're going to spend time with our friends so that I can see how you operate, so I can get to know you. Like, what makes you click? What makes you, like, go nuts and stuff like that? And it was amazing. We all used to go bowling together. And look at me. Devin is laughing because we went bowling the other day. I don't bowl. But sometimes you just do stuff. Pastor Richard is in agreement with me. You do stuff to be like, okay, listen, I'm just wanting to engage. I'm just wanting to engage with this person. And that's how we got close. And then we finally married. And it's even more awesome now. Because I'm still getting to know her. And that's how a relationship with Christ works, church. You cannot just be at that place where you're like, you know what, you wanting to do church. It's amazing to do church, but you need to be at the Lord's feet. You need to be in that space where you're like, okay, listen, today is my day with Jesus. So when this story happens, we catch that Mary is sitting by the Lord's feet. And she's just engaging. You know, it's like, Jesus is right there, looking at Jesus, learning from Jesus. I mean, like, look at this. This is so relaxing. This is so amazing. Church is done. You can go home. But this is the best place to be. And I've realized that for myself, church. The more I engage with God, the more things turn out different in my life. And one of the scariest scriptures for me in the Bible, because of what I've been reading and what I've been studying, you know, because we are so out there, but we're not wanting to engage with God, that we're using the name of Jesus, and it's for a good cause. Don't get me wrong. We're using the name of Jesus. We're operating in the name of Jesus. But it's like, you know what? We don't actually know him. We don't actually know him as much as he wants us to know him. And that scripture for me is found in Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. And it says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Believe Christ is going to shock so many of us on that day. And it's like, listen, those that do the will of my Father, those that do the will of the Father, how will we know the will of the Father if we are not in that place where we're getting to know him? How will we know the shepherd's voice if we are not engaging with him? How will we know where to go if we are not in that space with Christ? It's like if you know that you're going to be traveling, if you're going to Clarksdorp or Potchefstroom, you know the route that you need to take. You know the route that you need to take. Because the GPS is also telling you where to go. But who's that GPS in your life? Who's directing you? Who's directing you, church? Because this is a new year, and I know there's a whole lot of jokes about 2020 vision. But that's the thing. Do you have vision for this year? What is the Lord saying to you about this year? What is Christ saying to us as a church? Last year, I spoke to Pastor Richard. I'm like, I'm excited for what God is going to be doing. Because it's like, he always has this way of just sharing words like amazingly. And you're like, man, I'll go with you. Because I can see he has been with the Lord. And last year at our staff devotional with Pastor Heinrich, I remember I walked up to one of my friends and I'm like, man, did you notice? He's speaking so differently. It's like you can see he's been with Jesus. And that's what the Bible says about the disciples. People could see they had been with Jesus. Imagine you just walk into your workplace and somebody's like, man, you've been in that good place, eh? You've been with Jesus. Not like when you walk into a place, it's like, ah, man, he come on. But, see, when you've been with Jesus, everything changes. Everything changes, church. Let's read Psalm 42, verse 1 to 2. As the deer longs for the streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, for the living God. Where can I go and when can I go and stand before him? As the deer longs for the streams of water, so I long for God, for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Listen to the psalm. When can I go? I mean, like, this guy is like, listen, I'm thirsty for you, God. I'm so desperate for you, God. I know apart from you, there is no life. You are the spring of living waters. God, I need you so much in my life that I need to be in that space where I'm like, okay, I need to be receiving from you, God. I need to be receiving from you because I'm in that space of having quiet time with you. I'm in that space of reading your word. I'm in that space of praying, and not just once. Not just once, but like it's a continuous thing where I'm just wanting to be in the presence of the Lord. God, I believe something is actually wrong in the Western church. And the thing is, we don't hunger for God anymore. We are not hungry for God anymore. Because it's like, you know, we thinking, I'll go to church, Richard or Mojo will do a sermon, and that's fine. I'll go to a different church and I'll receive from that guy. And I'll go to this and I'll receive, but we are not in that space with Jesus. We don't long for him as he longs for us. Scripture says this, it gives God pleasure to call us his sons and daughters. But do we truly want to engage with Jesus? When we are intimate with God, we are inclined to know the shepherd's voice. And when we know the shepherd's voice, our faith increases and fear decreases. Because we know where we're going. We know what Christ is saying. But if we are not in that space, then fear overwhelms us. This is 2020, church. What is going to be different about this year? What is going to be different about this year? What are you looking forward to? Or are you just wanting to do life like you did it last year? Are you going to be like, okay, there's new challenges. Okay, God, lead me where my faith is without borders anymore. I just want to be with you. And that's my heart cry. And that's what my wife and I were praying about 2 weeks ago. Like, listen, Scotty, what are we doing this year? What are we doing this year? Because, like, I just don't want to do life like we did life last year. But I want to be more in the presence of the Lord. I want to be deeper with Jesus. I want to be so fired up. Because it's like, you know, as a believer, when you start your journey with God, you are so fired up for him. But then life begins to happen and then you're no longer fired up for him. then it's like you're just doing church. You're just running on as life goes. But church, my encouragement to us this morning is, can we get to that space where we want to seek Him? Can we get to that space where we want to hear His voice? Can we get to that space where we say to Him, okay, Father, lead us and show us the way? Or are we just going to be like, listen, man, it's okay. You know, when I go to work, I'll just put on that podcast again. And I'll just listen to my feel-good sermon. And that's it. See, I'm not condemning anyone here. Please, hear my heart. All I'm saying is, we cannot. We cannot be in a space where we don't engage with God. Last scripture that I'm wanting to read for us. And I think we all know the scripture. And it's also speaking from a place of, listen, when you know Jesus, when you know the Lord. And it's the Psalm of David. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Listen to that. This is a guy that is engaging with God. He is known by his God and he knows his God. Bible says this, that David was a man after God's own heart. Imagine that one day, somebody's like, yeah, man, Durky, he's a man after God's own heart. Whoever else, Devin, is a man after God's own heart. Imagine that's being said about you. That, you know, and everybody knew that you were running after God your whole life, that there was nothing that was distracting you. You were at that place where you're saying, okay, God, it's only you that I'm living for. Imagine that. That's what I'm trying to reach for in my life nowadays. Like, God, I just want you. I am so tired. I'm going to quote one of my friends. The person said this, Moja, you know what? I am tired of saying the same thing over and over to people that don't want to change. And I was like, what do you mean by this? Like, listen, I keep on saying this. And it's like, okay, but listen, I'm gonna go somewhere else and speak to other people. People that will listen. And I'm like, I see your heart. I see your heart in this. Because we can do this. We can do this. But if there's no motivation from people to be like, listen, we need this, then it's like, yeah. There's exciting things happening this year. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. For you are with me. God is with me. God is wanting to be with us. But we can only utter words like these when we are in a space of knowing Him and being known by Him. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Church, this is what I believe that the Lord said I must share today. And I know this is a basic message. But I find that the basic messages are the hard ones to actually do. Just to sit at the Lord's feet and to hear from Him. Here's a challenge for this week coming. When you start your quiet time, for 5 minutes. Just sit. Just 5 minutes. Just sit before the Lord. You see, the Bible doesn't say anything about Mary saying something to Jesus. She was in that place where she was listening. There's a funny picture I saw on the internet. It was a fox asking a rabbit, "Listen, why do you have such big ears and a small mouth?" And the bunny replied, "So that I can speak less and listen more." And that's what the bunny said. And that's my encouragement to us. Let's come to that space where we're just going to be sitting with Jesus and hearing from him. Can the band come up, please? I want to go back to that scripture, Luke. I just want to read the last verse. "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." 2020, one thing is needed, and we need to choose it. Choosing to be intimate with Jesus and to sit at his feet. See, when you sit at the Lord's feet, first thing that I mentioned is that you are inclined to hear his voice. Second thing is, he's the one that's going to lead you. And when you're communing with God, relationships around you begin to change. Because people can see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what people need to see when they look at us. The Jesus in us. Not the Mojas anymore. Because people are tired of seeing Moja. Moja cannot save anyone. But Christ can. Jesus can save lives. So my challenge to you tomorrow morning, when you wake up or whenever you have your quiet time, is just that 5 minutes where you begin to listen to what God has got to say to you. Let's close our eyes. Father, I just want to thank you for the space that we can just come before you, God, and just realize, God, that we need to sit at your feet as your people. We need to come to that space, God, where we can just be quiet before you, God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that 2020 will also be a year where we work on our relationship with you, God. That we can learn what it is, Lord God, to truly be a disciple of Christ. So, Father, this morning, I pray, God, that you will teach us to really just sit at your feet, God. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Of prayer, I think none of us can leave this place this morning by being challenged by that story. And maybe we thought we were ready for 2020. I think I certainly was. Well, I certainly did. But I've had to rethink this morning. Because it feels so easy to run into that which you have planned and that which in a sense is already prepared and laid out before you. just reflecting on this passage of scripture. It's so powerful because Martha is upset with her sister, and Martha's upset with Jesus because there's work to be done. And there will always be work to be done. That's just how life is. There's always stuff that needs to be done. And I think that's the challenging thing about that scripture, is because Jesus forces her not to do something and says, what are you going to say no to? Because yes, there are preparations to be made, and it's all legitimate. It's all stuff that needs to be done. But the outcome of that parable and the outcome of that story is that somebody said no to stuff that needs to be done and chose to be at the Lord, not speaking, not requesting, not asking, but just listening. And so I want to challenge us this morning. What are you going to leave behind? What are you going to say no to? What's going to fall off your plate? Because there's only 24 hours in a day, and there's lots that needs to be done. What are you going to say no to, perhaps, which you had planned to do this year? And we're not talking about hours. Like Moja said, sometimes all it takes is a few seconds or a few minutes of intentional time, undistracted time, priority time. What are you going to do to make that a priority, to be at His feet and to listen? I think our days, which add up to weeks and months, and which will eventually add up to 2020, will turn out a whole lot different if we made Christ the priority. And so I just want us to respond this morning, and we're not going to do anything. You're going to just be with the Lord and maybe just even listen for a while and ask Him, Lord, how am I going to apply the truth of that story? What am I going to say no to this year? And maybe you'll be surprised what He drops in your heart. So let's just spend 2 or 3 minutes just waiting on Him and asking Him, how can I make You a priority, Lord? So Lord, we pray for courage this morning. Courage to make choices that reflect priorities, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would embrace the truth, Father, that sometimes we need to say no and choose the better thing, even though this world and everything else would dictate to us. I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you'd speak to your sheep. They hear your voice. They know your voice, Lord. And may we all be found, Lord, at the beginning of this year and for the rest of this year, at your feet, not speaking but listening, and spending time with you, Lord. You would say to us, we have chosen the better thing. So I pray for the better choice in our hearts and in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.